Psalm 127 and 128. Psalm 127 and 128. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, and the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Appreciate Brother Matthew and Brother Jason both for leading us in our singing today, and Brother Ken for the scripture reading just a second ago. I don't know if perhaps he doesn't have the record for the longest scripture reading two chapters. But these two psalms, if you notice, reading them back to back in this way, they go together. There's a common theme between both of them, and that is the family, and specifically the blessings or the joys that are found within the home or within the family. People today are in search of happiness. And the tragedy is that so many people are looking in so many places that promise happiness and promise peace and promise joy, and of course they are empty promises. Satan has his tackle box full of lures to try to appeal to us, to get us away from God, away from God's plan for our life, and so many people follow after those. While there are joys that are found in serving Christ, and joys that are found in this world that are apart from the home and the family, we know that the Scriptures teach that there is joy, there is happiness, there's peace, and there's fulfillment in the marriage and in the home and in the family. And that's what these two psalms talk about. And I believe it would be a good study for us to consider after the one that we had this morning and talking about making our family life a priority. Psalm 127 is actually one of the passages that was turned in by a member as being their favorite passage of Scripture. So I want to look at it. But I believe Psalm 128 needs to go along with it. And so we're going to dig into these two psalms. We're going to go through them verse by verse. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us in these two psalms. Let's start with Psalm 127 and look at verse 1. We looked at this verse as we brought our study to a close this morning. And so let's start here as we begin. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. By the way, the verses that I'll have on the overhead or on the projector this afternoon are from the King James Version. The word vain is used three times here in this psalm, and it gives the idea of it's nothing. Vain is a word, or vanity is a word, used often by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the idea there as well is that it's useless. And that's the idea here in this passage. It's useless. It's useless to build this house unless the Lord is involved from the very beginning. Unless the Lord is involved in the planning, unless the Lord is involved in carrying it out and the construction of it, it simply is not going to last. And it is not going to accomplish what God intends for the home and the family to accomplish. Every home has to have a beginning. God must be included at the very beginning of the home, at the beginning of the marriage. You young people who are not yet married, listen to me. God needs to be involved in your thinking and your planning right now, even before you meet or find the person that you are going to marry, you first need to be making plans with God as to what kind of a marriage you're going to have and what kind of a home that you are going to have. God must be involved from the very beginning, and everything must be done in harmony with His will and in an effort to glorify Him in your marriage, in the raising of your children, and in your home. We know that God created marriage for a purpose. We can go back to Genesis 1 and 2, and we can see that marriage was created by God for a purpose. The roles that are going to be played, the responsibilities that are to be carried out that we looked at for a few moments this morning, they are a part of God's plan, and if these aren't acknowledged, if these aren't accepted, and if these are not performed, the marriage is not going to work. Now, it may last, but it's not going to accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The second part of this verse, except the Lord build the city, or except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This was written back in a time when large cities had walls around them. And a part of the wall that was around the city were towers where the watchmen would be. And it was their job during the night to watch for threats that would come from afar. They would sound the warning at the first sign of danger. Well, the real watchman of any city that would stand is the Lord. And unless the Lord is watching over and guarding over the city, it doesn't matter how many watchmen you have on the tower, it will not stay safe. One of the many vivid images that God gives to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, is the image of God departing from the temple and departing from the city. And that signified the fact that Jerusalem no longer had God's protection, which is why Jerusalem fell to Babylon. It could stand as long as God was with them. And that's why it was foolish for all the kings to go and to make alliances with the foreign nations and to give away the wealth and to give away the glory of the nation of Israel. Because God was watching that city and guarding that nation. And it stood until God left. And once God left, when the Lord stopped watching over that city, it fell and it was taken into captivity. The same thing is true with our home. And the same thing is true with our marriage. God is to be acknowledged in everything that we do, in everything that we accomplish as a home and as a family. If it's not built according to the Lord's plan and the Lord's pattern, it's not going to glorify God. And if it doesn't glorify God, God is not going to protect it. And if God does not protect it, there is nothing that we can do ourselves to try to protect it. Think about this. Think about this contrast. In the book of Genesis, you have the building of the Tower of Babel, right? And all the people decide they're going to build this tower up to heaven itself. And what happened? God struck them and they stopped their building. Then you fast forward some centuries and you've got Nehemiah and a small band of pilgrims that have returned to Jerusalem, and they rebuild the wall around that city against all kinds of odds. How were they able to do that? God was with Nehemiah, and God opposed the Tower of Babel. One came to nothing and the other one was successful. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Who's watching over your home and your family? Who has built your home and your marriage and your family? The psalmist continues, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now, the Lord would not have us to be lazy or neglectful or overindulgent. However, the Lord would also have us to get the sleep and the rest that we need along with the proper nourishment. It's vain for you to rise up early and to make sure everything is okay. And it's vain for you to stay up late and make sure that everything is okay if the Lord isn't keeping the city, if the Lord is not watching out, You can stay up 24/7 and it won't help. It won't keep you safe. It will not protect the city. When we trust in ourselves, we often stretch ourselves to the limit and we begin to suffer from exhaustion and lack of nutrition. Knowing that we're not doing it on our own, but knowing that the Lord is building and the Lord is guarding is the way that God gives His beloved sleep. If we're trusting in the Lord and we're serving Him as faithfully as we can pillow our head at night, trusting that we are right with God and that God will protect us and keep us safe through to the next morning. But if we're not trusting in God, we can't pillow our heads at night with that safety and with that security. So here at the beginning, these two verses, we've got the picture of God being involved from the very beginning, building it and watching it and keeping it safe so that the inhabitants are at peace and the inhabitants have what they need. The rest of the psalm turns its attention to our children. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The Hebrew word here for heritage signifies an inheritance. God gives us our children. They are a gift from Him. And this is one way that it can be said that God builds the house. We can physically build the structure, build the home, but it's God who blesses us with our children. And so it is God who builds the house. The fruit of the womb, that is children, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are not a penalty. Children are not a scourge. Children are not a burden. Children are a blessing. And children are a favor from God. And if we will view our children the way that God would have us to view the children with whom He blesses us, then perhaps we have a different attitude. And perhaps we could find joy in our homes and in our families. We could trust in God for their care and not worry about them. Although telling a mother not to worry about her children doesn't work. It doesn't work. But we know that they're from God. We know that our sons and our daughters are the sons and daughters of God. They're gifts from God entrusted to our care, but God loves them more than we do. And God would not mean for harm to come upon them. So we can trust in God for their care. We can regard our children as a sacred trust from the Lord, with whom we must, and upon whom's account we must have to answer unto God. Children are given to us from God. And thus, we should strive even more diligently to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we looked at this morning in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We pray for our children. We help our children to grow physically, to grow emotionally, to grow socially, but most importantly, to grow spiritually and to draw unto their Heavenly Father. We would even have the proper attitude if we view our children as gifts from God. It could help us to have the proper attitude when our children pass from this life in an untimely manner, helping us to remember that they have been gifts from God, and that whatever time we had with them was a blessing and something for which to be extremely thankful. Children are a gift. They are a reward. They are not a penalty or a punishment. Verse 4, children are portrayed as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are the children of thy youth. Children are like arrows. Parents sharpen them with their teaching, with their instruction, with their raising. Parents straighten them. If you've ever shot a crooked arrow, it has a funny flight path. You straighten out that arrow. You want it to be straight. You want to straighten out your children. Because you're going to draw back and you're going to let go and you're going to watch them fly. And when you watch them fly, you see the fruits of your efforts. You see the results of what you've done. The hours and the years that you spent sharpening and straightening those arrows, it's shown as you watch them fly. But that's exactly what parents have to do with their children. There comes a time when you've got to draw back that string and you've got to let them go. Let them go. And they've got to fly their own path just like we've had to fly our own. Children that are born in early years become a source of strength and comfort in latter years. I watched as my dad cared for his parents in their old age. And he was in a situation where he could go and stay with them and be one of their caregivers during their latter years of life. And to see through my dad how that came full circle, because I know, even though I wasn't there, I know in the beginning of his life, his mother and father, my grandparents, were there taking care of him 24/7. Well, time came around in life and it was his turn to do that for them and to take care of them. The children that are born in one's youth become a source of strength when one reaches old age. So as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So are the children of one's young age. Verse 5 says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They should not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Happy. So here's happiness. Here's joy. Where does it come from? It comes from a quiver full of children. Now here's the great debate. How many is in a quiver? Is it one? Is it two? Is it 11 or more? I believe it's however many God has blessed you with. That's your full quiver. However many children you have, there's your quiver full. And they are a blessing from God. They are a gift of God. And look at the picture here. The picture has shifted from one of arrows flying straight, hitting the targets that the parents have aimed them towards, to a picture of a man who is walking to the gates of the city. At the gates of an ancient city is where the elders of the city would sit. And if anybody had a dispute, they would bring that to the elders of the city. They would bring that before the elders of the city, and the elders would decide that dispute. Well, here comes a man to meet his enemies before the elders at the gate of the city. And who's he got behind him? He's got his grown sons behind him. He's got his sons who were there to give him the strength that he needs. They are standing behind their father as he stands before his enemy. And that's what our children do for us. Our children give us strength. We give them strength. We give them guidance. We give them help. But they give us strength as well. They give us guidance. They give us help. I remember one time I had an opportunity to talk with my dad about something. And there was something that he was wanting to do. It was an ongoing disagreement that he had with another relative in the family. It would have been his uncle. Still is his uncle. They're still alive. But going back from before I was born, there was this tension between the two of them. And it wasn't something that was going to be resolved. But my dad made it clear that he didn't want his children to do anything with this particular family member. When I was old enough to realize what was going on and what my dad asked of me, I told him, I said, "Dad, I might not agree with why you don't want to do anything, why you don't want us doing anything with this family member, but I'll do what you tell me to do because you've told me to do it." I had his back. And he knew I had his back. and it gave him some satisfaction. Not because he had one over on this family member, but because my dad knows that his son has his back. Because for 42 years now, I've known that he's got my back. And so now's the time in the Lord, I'll do what my father asked. And he won't have to go to the gates of the city by himself. I'll go with him. Now there's that strength that comes from children. That strength, they are weapons in the hand of a warrior. They give him that strength and they have his back when he goes to meet his enemies. This is how the Bible portrays. And of course, this is just one passage out of the scriptures that have so many different illustrations about the blessings of children. But in this psalm, here's what children are. They are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward. They are a source of strength. They are a source of confidence, allowing one to stand and speak before his enemies. So this psalm ends just about as quickly as it begins, but we've got this beautiful picture of the relationship between the father and his children. The father and his children. Now let's go to the next psalm. Let's go to Psalm 128, because I believe here we just continue on with the same theme and the same idea. That is the blessings that are found in the home, in the family. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. The previous psalm talked about building the house. This psalm draws a picture of the activity within that house. Within that house. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Doesn't this remind you of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, or keeps his commandments. It's not enough to have the right attitude towards the Lord, but we've also got to obey God. This is how the Lord builds the house. The Lord builds the house by us fearing him and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments. Our faith may be emotional, and I believe there's a place for emotion to be in our faith, very much so. But our faith also must be practical. We can't say we believe in God. We can't say the Bible is a good book to read and we're going to read the Bible and then, oh, but when it comes to our family, we're going to turn to Dr. Spock and we're going to let him teach us how to raise our children. No, that's not letting the Lord build the house. We are to walk in his ways. Then we are blessed. And the rest of this psalm talks about those blessings that come to the one who fears the Lord and who walks after his ways. Notice verse 2. Here's one of the blessings that we have. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. In the book of Ecclesiastes again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 and 19. Here's what I have seen. It is good and it is fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For us to enjoy the blessings that God has given us, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to feel guilty about enjoying the blessings and the successes of life. That's something that God has given us. That's a heritage, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. That's a gift that's been given by God. For they shall eat the labor of thy, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Notice this, the labor of your own hands. There is no joy in living off of somebody else. There is no joy in being a dependent upon someone else. Work, good, honest work, gives us a sense of self-respect and self-worth. We might be tired after a day of hard work, but it's a good tired. Because we've accomplished something, and we've contributed to something. We've provided for our family, and we've had something left over to give to those who are in need. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. This is one of the blessings that we have if we fear the Lord and if we walk in His ways. Our labor is going to be rewarded and rewarding. And we will eat the fruit of our labors. We'll be happy and it will be well with us. And then in verse 3, we return again to this picture of the blessing of the home and the family. You remember in the previous psalm, children were like arrows. And children were like those strong companions that accompanied their father to the gates of the city to meet their enemy. Here's another picture that is drawn. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy table. How about the relationship between a man and his wife? The wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Why does the wife come into the picture at all? Think about this. Back in Genesis chapter 2, it wasn't good for man to be alone, was it? And so God made a helper comparable to him. And the wife was created, and the wife was brought to Adam, and they were joined together as husband and wife. Now let me ask this question. If the man needed a helpmeet in a paradise garden, how much more does he need a helpmeet out of a paradise garden? Here's a source of joy, a blessing that has come from God. The helpmeet was there. The wife has a work to do. She is to be fruitful in her good deeds, in her kindness, in her love, in her care for her home, in her care for her husband, in her care for her children, and even in her care for others. Let's take the time to read Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Here is this godly woman from Proverbs 31. Here she is in the home, and the psalmist says that she is a fruitful vine. Notice the King James Version says, by the sides of thine house. Some of the other versions say, in the heart of the house, in the midst of the house. Looks like King James Version has her living on the outside of the house, climbing up on the walls, right? Well, think about this. Back in this time, in this culture, it wasn't uncommon for houses to have an open courtyard in the middle. And that's where the family would often come together and could eat their meals there. And there would be vines that would be growing up on the side of the house. But it wouldn't be on the outside of the house. It would be on the inside of the house, at the very center of the house. And so here is the wife in the place where God has put her to be a homemaker, Titus chapter 2 and at verse 5, doing what she's been created to do in the place she's been put to do it, excelling there in being a fruitful vine. The Hebrew poetry here paints a beautiful picture of the relationship between the husband and his wife. A vine needs support. A vine needs something upon which to cling and something upon which to grow. And that would be the husband. The husband provides the strength, and the wife then is able to be fruitful in what she does. Notice that she's in the house. She's in her husband's house, not someone else's. And notice that she is on the walls. She's not under the floor to be walked on. And she's not on the roof ruling over. But she's there on the side as a companion. She bears fruit, and her fruit is not just the children that are born to the house. The fruit is the love that is given. The fruit is the kindness that is shown. The fruit is the help that is given to the husband. The fruit is the wisdom. The virtuous wife from Proverbs 31, she opens up her mouth with wisdom. This past week, I've been struggling with some things. Not anything to do with my family. Not anything to do with the congregation here. But I've been struggling with some things with connection to some friends of mine and some other preachers. I can't remember how many times Christy has been able to calm me down with the words that she's had to say and the wisdom that she has shared as she has seen me go through this hard time this week and carry this load. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. That's just a very, very small percentage and portion of what God has blessed me with through my wife. Everything good that comes from a man's wife is that fruit that is born, and it's born there in the house. But that vine needs that strength to allow it to grow and to allow it to do what God would have it to do and allow it to produce that fruit. So there's a beautiful picture between the husband and his wife right there in the very heart of their home. And then here are the children. They've been arrows, and they've been strong companions, backing up their father as he meets with his enemies. But here, they're olive plants. Olive plants all around the table. I've been told, and we might look at this and think, olive plants around the table, what is that? And maybe we've got to stretch something here to try to make it fit. Think about this. I've been told that olive trees, an olive tree that stands, that is mature, will have around it shoots. And that was in the reading that we had from Brother Ken. Olive shoots are there. And here is the tree, and it's standing firm, and around the roots at the base of the tree, there are these shoots that are growing up. What's the purpose of the shoots that are there? If something happens to the tree and the tree falls, one of those shoots is ready to take its place. One of those shoots is ready to grow in its place. One of these days, Dad's going to be taken out to the cemetery, and he's going to be laid to rest. And that mantle of leadership is then going to be handed on to the next generation. And that's when those shoots have to grow up into trees. And there have been many families here that have had to go through this, some even recently, and how the sons have had to step into the place of their father. That's the way it should be. That's the picture that's painted for us here in this psalm. The children are there. They are learning from their father and mother, and they are learning how to take their own place in their own home and do what God would have them to do. And notice that the plants are where? Around the table, right? They had family together time back in the Old Testament. There's still a place for family together time in the house of God's people, in the homes of God's people today. So much happens during that time when mother and father and children are gathered there around the table. That's such an important time. Don't give that time away to the devil. Don't give that time away. Insist that the family eat together. And we're starting to get into the habit that these little electronic gadgets, they don't get brought to the table. They don't get brought to the table. We don't have any interruptions when we're eating together as a family. That's an important time. Here's this beautiful picture of that family, that home, as they are there in the heart of that house. Well, remember, the theme here of this particular psalm are the blessings that are found in that home that God builds. Well, the rest of the psalm talks about these blessings. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion was a figure for Jerusalem, but it was also a figure for heaven. The God of heaven will bless us if we fear him and if we do his deeds and his works. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. You shall see your country prosper. You shall see good days. Well, there is no blanket promise that we're going to live in the best of times. But you know the saying, if things aren't going well at home, things aren't going well at all. You can get through even the roughest of times if things are going well at home. And then, look here in verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. That's a blessing from God. Not only are children a blessing from God, but to see your children have their children is a blessing as well. Proverbs 17 and at verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Children's children, grandchildren, is what we're talking about here. A great blessing that's come from God. You put your focus on letting God build your house and build your family, and you raise your children the way God has taught you how to raise your children, then when you shoot them as arrows and they leave the home and that plant grows up into its own tree, then you have an even additional blessing of watching them raise their family and enjoying their children, your grandchildren. And then the last phrase is peace upon Israel, a common theme in the Old Testament. Simply peace among God's people. God's Israel today is the church. The church is made up of individual members, but these individuals come from families. If we raise our children right, they'll be a part of God's Israel, and they'll contribute to the peaceful growth and work of the Lord's church. Two beautiful psalms that we have here that if we'll take the time to dig into, and we see some beautiful pictures that are used to talk about domestic life, to talk about the relationship between the husband and the wife and how they need each other and how they help each other, and talk about the blessings primarily of one's children. They're like arrows They provide that strength. They are like those olive plants that are there, that are learning, that are getting ready to take their own place in their own home. So many blessings that are found there. Blessings that come from God through our families. Too often we complain about the things that we don't have, and we take for granted the blessings that we do have. We need to learn to rediscover the joys and the blessings that we have at home, in our marriages, in our children, in our homes, and not take these for granted. Husbands give strength and provision. Wives are fruitful and faithful. Children are a reward. Children are strength for everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His way. If you would, please get out your songbook and open up to number 330. Just As I Am, I believe, is my favorite song that we have in this book. It's the song that's been chosen by Brother Matthew as the invitation song. I realize that the sermons that we've had today have not been designed primarily to solicit a response to the gospel. But the gospel has been preached. God's word has been preached. And the invitation is going to be extended without apology. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, understand that you're not in God's house. We've had these beautiful pictures tonight of what it's like to be in that home and in that family. If you're not a Christian, you're not in the house. You're not in that family. You're not enjoying those great blessings. The only thing keeping you from it is yourself. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith, let us baptize you into Christ this very hour, and you'll become a part of God's family, being born again and adopted as a child of God. If you've walked away from God, repent and come back. If you need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.